Psalm 143. So close to finishing the Psalms. Which, those of you in a panic, we will not do tonight. Okay. I was thinking about Matt, actually, as I read through Psalm 142 this morning. It's a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Actually, I'm sorry, 143. An earnest appeal for guidance and deliverance. This is, it's a psalm of David, but in my Bible, I have written rock bottom psalm. You know, this is it's a great psalm to share with people when they're in a desperate place, when they're approaching rock bottom. David cries out. In verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. So it's that desperate cry of, God, do I have your attention? You know, God, I'm going to cry out to you. Will you please listen? And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He's made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. I do want you to pay attention. But I don't want you to raise your hand. But I want you to think about if you've ever felt that, if you can relate to the psalmist here. And again, I'll just read there. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I love that in that place, he doesn't go crawl into a hole. You know, he doesn't isolate. He doesn't lock himself in his bedroom. He doesn't intoxicate. But his answer is to reach out to the Lord. Lord, my spirit is overwhelmed. I'm at the end of me. I'm at the end of my strength. My heart within me is distressed. And then he remembers the faithfulness of God in verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. You guys, learn from the psalmist, because when we're in that pit where our soul is overwhelmed and there's nothing but desperation inside of us, I won't say we, I'll say I, have a tendency to dwell on that, to dwell on that space, spot that I'm in, to dwell on the discouragement. And Psalmist says, David says, God, I'm going to remember the days of old. I'm going to meditate on all your works, not my circumstances today, but I'm going to meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. My spirit fails. I mentioned last week that I think at times God measures in inches, you know, or in fractions of an inch when we are at our end point. And a lot of times lets us go there. And I think in the next psalm we'll understand why a little bit. But in verse 7, I see that as such a desperate cry. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. God, I'm sinking. It says in 2 Corinthians, and I know I gave you these out of order, Jake, but 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 tells us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Concerning this thing, this is Paul talking about this thorn that he was given in his flesh. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to read the rest of it and then come back to verse 9. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What a place of mature understanding. When I'm weak, I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You guys understand that it's only in our weakness, it's only when we're at that spot where my spirit fails that God can come in and be the strength. And I think this is actually harder for strong people. You know, people that try to tough it out, people that try to endure, because we rely on our own strength in that for way too long. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So it's only when we come to that place at the end of ourselves, at the end of our reliance on us, and the end of our reliance on our endurance, our pride, our strength, that God's strength can be made perfect in us. And that's where David is in this psalm in verse 7. Answer me speedily, O Lord, I am done. I'm sinking. My spirit fails. In Hebrews, it tells us in chapter 4 that when we come to him, we can come boldly. Seeing then, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Listen to this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. This is our Savior. We don't have a Savior who can't sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Ephesians chapter 6. Can you put up that one last verse? This is after, guys, in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about putting on the armor of God and all these tools that we have and the breastplate of righteousness and all that, that section ends with this: praying always. We have all these tools. We have all these items of protection that the Lord gives us. But in addition to that, praying only, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That we would pray always. That we would beg with all prayer and supplication, humble begging, basically, in the Spirit. That's what David understands through having been in some stuff, having gone through some trials. And he's there again. Answer me, O Lord, my spirit fails. Second half of verse 7, do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. I'm making this choice to place my trust in you, God. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Not just God, but you're my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For your righteousness' sake. So he's begging on behalf of himself, saying, God, my spirit fails. I'm ready to tap out. But for your name's sake and your righteousness' sake. You know what, God? People know I'm your child. And in a sense, your reputation is on the line. I've placed my faith and trust in you. And people know that. Do people know that you're a Christian? Probably more do than you think. You know, maybe you're not a bold evangelist in your workplace or in school or in your social circles. But generally when people know, they start watching. They want to know, they want to know if you're the real deal. They know what you're supposed to stand for. So David says, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake." God, people know I'm your child. I'm a follower of yours, that I've chosen to place my trust in you. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. David's saying, God, make them pay. You know, make the devil pay in the end. I'll endure this, Lord. I'll be at the end of me. I'll rely on your strength, but Lord, make them pay. Psalm 144, a song to the Lord who preserves and prospers his people, a psalm of David. Verse 1, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress. Verse 2, I want you to notice this. Notice that all of these things that he says about God are personal. They're not just titles of God. It's not just mighty fortress, high tower, but they're all personal. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. You ever think about, guys, for David to experientially personalize that, what he must have gone through? You know, oftentimes trials, I'll use Matt as an example so I don't have to talk about myself. You know, but we go through things and they just don't make sense. I know Matt really, really wanted to be here today. And I think a component of these type of things are spiritual warfare. You know, that it intensified today. It actually intensified Sunday. You know? But I also believe that God lets us go through some things at times so we can experience his strength, so we can come to the end of ourselves, even though that is excruciatingly painful. And we may lack understanding in it. What must David have gone through that he could say, God, you are my loving kindness? I was at a time in my life, Lord, where my soul failed. Last psalm, as a matter of fact. And I cried out to you, but I found you to be my loving kindness. So you aren't just loving kindness, God, but you've been that to me. And you've been my fortress. Lord, when I could no longer defend myself and I had no strength, what must David have gone through to be able to personalize that? To be able to say, God, you're my fortress. You're my high tower and my deliverer. He had to be in a pit and he had to cry out to God. And God had to be the strength that he didn't have. My shield. And God, you were the one that, when there was no other refuge, you were the one in whom I took refuge. You subdued my people under me. We think of David and a man after God's own heart, and we know he was a warrior. We know that he was a sinner. We know that he loved God. But his life was not without trial. His life was not without a time that he needed God to be his loving kindness, needed God to be his fortress. And God was faithful, and that's part of the when David's in these things, he thinks back, right? In the last psalm, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. All the times that experientially, Lord, this became personal to me. And you became so much more than Creator God. You became my deliverer. Verse 3 says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. He's amazed that God cares about what's going on in our lives. That he knows. That he knows what's troubling you today. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? That you even consider our circumstances, that you're mindful of him. Man is like breath. We're finite. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters. From the hand of foreigners whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me. I like how he says that. God, you're the one that delivers me. Rescue me. You know, David, I think, even though he doesn't have the New Testament understanding that we do, you know, when we're in trials and we're being attacked, we already know the devil's a created being and a defeated being. He's already defeated. And Colossians talks about that. He's already defeated. And we will live life eternal in heaven. But David says, you deliver David, his servant, from a deadly sword. Rescue me, deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speaks lying words, verse 11, and those whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there may be no breaking in or going out. Don't you kind of feel like David's saying, God, do all this, do all this? Nah, I'm just kidding. Just save me. Just rescue me. I'm happy with that. There will be no outcry in our streets. Verse 15, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Okay. Now, 145, we'll get into a Thanksgiving psalm. Okay, this is sort of the Old Testament version of, in fact, go to Ephesians 1, Jake, up on the board. Just reading in here earlier today. I like this. Paul, this is sort of like a New Testament laundry list of things to be thankful for. I'll just read a little bit. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory by his grace, of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, in which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And it goes on. Guys, it is a New Testament laundry list of things to be thankful for. And that's what I see Psalm 145 as. in the Old Testament. Again, it's a Psalm of David. Verse 1, he says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Guys, that means we should be passing on the amazing things God does in our lives. I don't want to open it all up for testimony right this second. But let me ask you a question. Those of you that walk with the Lord, if you think back over your lives, how many of you could testify that the Lord has done at least one miracle in your life? You can slip a hand up. Look around you guys. Maybe there's somebody here that's questioning the faithfulness of God, and does he have the ability to deliver me out of what I'm in today? And if you look around the room, there's a room full of miracles in Old Town. You know, and he's saying, one generation shall praise your works to another. We should be sharing that, telling one another of the faithfulness of God, and shall declare your mighty acts. I'll meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Meditate on those things, not our today's circumstances, not the bad things that are going on. I'll meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Listen to that. You who, can I say, even in our sin, I don't want to add to the scriptures, but I want to explain them in context. Because when we as Christians enter into sin, the Holy Spirit is faithful to convict us, to make us mindful of that sin, but also draws us to him, the one that is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Opposite, and I don't want to compare them as if they're similar in any way, or say Satan is the opposite of God, because he's not. He's created, and he's been defeated. Satan condemns. Satan is the one that says, you've sinned, and you've separated yourself from God, and you can't go back to God. You're not worthy of that. You're no good to do that. But God says, through the Holy Spirit, and reminds us tonight in his word, that the Lord is gracious, and he's full of compassion. That's what I want when, you guys know Christians do sin, right? I know there's teaching out there about, I don't even know what it's called, I can't remember. But basically perfectified sanctification, that we get to a point where we no longer sin. I don't know anyone like that. Not yet. When I sin, I want to know that God, okay, I didn't see Rosaire was here. When I sin, I want to know that God is gracious and God is full of compassion. And he's my father that wants me to come back to him. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. If you go to dinner tomorrow somewhere and you go around the table, and what are you thankful for? You can't think of anything. Whip this out. Just read a couple of verses from Psalm 145. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall. That's not always our impression of God, right? When we fall, we think he's going to send lightning and be the one that stomps us down into the ground. That rigid, legalistic, maybe you weren't all raised up that way. For a long time, that was my impression of God. But the Lord is the one who upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Keep calling if it doesn't feel like it. You know, if you're in that spot where David was in the cave and you cry out, Lord, hear my pleas. I need you to be near to me for the sake of his name, for your righteousness' sake. It says the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Sometimes that seems like a long way off. But the day is coming. Guys, the day is coming when the Lord will preserve all who love him. The wicked he will destroy. Guys like me who spent a career in law enforcement will all be retired. The 1,000-year reign, right? There's a time of peace coming. So, we'll end there and probably finish the Psalms next Wednesday. Let's pray, guys. We will close out. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the example of David and the understanding, Lord, of your faithfulness. All those personal titles that he knew you personally in his own life as deliverer, as fortress. Lord, it makes us mindful in our own struggles and our own trials that you're there and you want to be those things for us. Lord, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, help us to follow the example of the word and surrender sooner. Lord, not be reliant on our own strength, but to turn to you immediately. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. Lord, please be with us tomorrow as we spend time with family. Lord, it's a time of blessing, but it can also be a time of stress. Lord, help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to love supernaturally, Lord, and to represent you in our walk, in our talk. Lord, that people would see Jesus in us. We pray this in your son's holy name. Amen.